Krishna Book, Canto 15, The Syamantaka Jewel, Chapter 56, Scene 1, The Character of Satrajit. There was a king of the name Satrajit within the jurisdiction of Dwarakadham. He was a great devotee of the sun god, who awarded him the benediction of a jewel known as Syamantaka. Because of the Syamantaka jewel, there was a misunderstanding between King Satrajit and the Yadu dynasty. But later on, the matter was settled when Satrajit voluntarily offered Krishna his daughter, Satyabhama, along with the Syamantaka jewel. Not only was Satyabhama married to Krishna on account of the Syamantaka jewel, but Jambavati, the daughter of Jambavan, was also married to Krishna. These two marriages took place before the appearance of Pradyumna, as was described previously. How King Satrajit offended the Yadu dynasty, and how Satrajit later on came to his senses and offered his daughter and the Syamantaka jewel to Krishna, is described as follows. Since he was a great devotee of the sun god, King Satrajit gradually entered into a very friendly relationship with him. The sun god was much pleased with Satrajit and delivered to him an exceptional jewel known as Syamantaka. When this jewel was worn by Satrajit in a locket around his neck, Satrajit appeared exactly like an imitation sun god. Putting on this jewel, Satrajit would enter the city of Dwaraka, and people would think that the sun god had come into the city to see Krishna. They knew that Krishna, being the supreme personality of Godhead, was sometimes visited by the demigods. So while Satrajit was visiting the city of Dwaraka, all the inhabitants except Krishna took Satrajit to be the sun god himself. Although King Satrajit was known to everyone, he could not be recognized because of the dazzling effulgence of the Syamantaka jewel. Once, mistaking him to be the sun god, some of the important citizens of Dwaraka immediately went to Krishna, informing him that the sun god had arrived to see Krishna. At that time, Krishna was playing chess. One of the important residents of Dwaraka spoke, "My dear Lord Krishna, you are the supreme personality of Godhead. In your plenary portion of Narayana or Vishnu, you have four hands with different symbols, the conchel, disc, club, and lotus flower. You are actually the owner of everything. But in spite of your being the supreme personality of Godhead, Narayana, you have descended in Vrindavan to act as the child of Yashoda Mata, who sometimes used to tie you up with her ropes, and you are celebrated, therefore, by the name Damodara." That Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, Narayana, as accepted by the citizens of Dwaraka, was later on confirmed by the great Mayavadi philosophical leader, Shankara Acharya. By accepting Lord Krishna as impersonal, Shankara Acharya did not reject Lord Krishna's personal form. Shankara Acharya simply meant that everything which has form in this material world is subjected to creation, maintenance, and annihilation. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, does not have a material form subjected to these limitations. In order to convince the less intelligent class of men who take Krishna to be an ordinary human being, Shankara Acharya therefore said that God is impersonal. But this impersonality means that he is not a person of this material condition. Rather, he is a transcendental personality without a material body. The citizens of Dwaraka address Lord Krishna not only as Damodar, but also as Govinda, which indicates that Krishna is very affectionate to the cows and calves. And just to refer to their intimate connection with Krishna, they also addressed him as Yadunandana. Krishna is the son of Vasudeva, born in the Yadu dynasty. In this way, the citizens of Dwaraka concluded that they were addressing Krishna as the supreme master of the whole universe. They addressed Krishna in many different ways, proud of being citizens of Dwaraka who could see Krishna daily. So when Satrajit was visiting the city of Dwaraka, the citizens felt great pride to think that although Krishna was living in Dwaraka like an ordinary human being, the demigods were coming to see him. Thus, they informed Lord Krishna that the sun god, with his appealing bodily effulgence, was coming to see Krishna. The citizens of Dwaraka confirmed that the sun god's coming into Dwaraka was not very wonderful, because people all over the universe who were searching after the Supreme Personality of Godhead knew that Krishna had appeared in the family of the Yadu dynasty and was living in Dwaraka as one of the members of that family. Thus the citizens expressed their joy upon this occasion. On hearing the statement of his citizens, the all-pervasive personality of Godhead Krishna simply smiled. Being pleased with the citizens of Dwaraka, Krishna informed them that the person whom they described as the sun god was actually King Satrajit, who had come to visit Dwaraka city just to show his opulence in the form of the valuable jewel which he obtained from the sun god. Satrajit, however, did not come to see Krishna, for he was instead overwhelmed by the jewel of Syamantaka. He installed the jewel in a temple which was to be worshipped by Brahmanas, which Satrajit engaged for this very purpose. This is an instance of a less intelligent person worshipping a material thing. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that less intelligent persons, in order to get immediate results from their fruitive activities, worship the demigods who are created within this universe. The word materialist means one concerned with gratification of the senses within this material world. Although Krishna later asked for the Syamantaka jewel, King Satrajit did not deliver it to him, but Satrajit installed the jewel for his own purposes of worship. And who would not worship that jewel? The Syamantaka jewel was so powerful that it was daily producing a large quantity of gold. A quantity of gold is counted by a measurement called bhara. According to Vedic formulas, one bhara is equal to 16 pounds of gold. One mound equals 82 pounds. And so, the Syamantaka jewel was producing about 170 pounds of gold every day. And besides that, it is learned from Vedic literature that in whatever part of the world the Syamantaka jewel is worshipped, there is no possibility of famine. Not only that, but wherever the jewel is present, there is no possibility of anything inauspicious, such as pestilence or disease. Lord Krishna wanted to teach the world that the best of everything should be offered to the ruling chief of the country. King Ugrasena was the overlord of many dynasties and happened to be the grandfather of Krishna. And so Krishna asked Satrajit to present the Syamantaka jewel to King Ugrasena. Krishna pleaded that the best should be offered to the king, but Satrajit, being a worshipper of the demigods, had become too materialistic. And instead of accepting the request of Krishna, Satrajit thought it wiser to worship the jewel in order to get the 170 pounds of gold every day. Such materialistic persons, who can achieve such huge quantities of gold every day, are not interested in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes, therefore, in order to show special favor, Krishna takes away great accumulations of materialistic wealth from a person and thus makes one a great devotee. But Satrajit refused to abide by the order of Krishna and did not deliver the jewel to him. Thus ends chapter 56, scene 1, the character of Satrajit. All glories to Krishna Book, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Doya Koro More Toma Bina Ke Doyalu Jagat Sansare Patita Pavana Hetu Tavavatar Mosama Patita Prabhu Na Paibe Ara Haha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi Kripa Balo Kanna Koro Ami Boro Dukhi Doya Koro Sitapati Advaita Gosai Tava Kripa Bale Pai Chaitanya Nithai Haha Swarup Sanatana Rupa Raguna Bhata Juga Sri Jiva Ha Prabhu Lokana Doya Koro Sri Acharya Prabhu Srinivas Ramachandra Sangamage Narottam Das. My dear Lord Chaitanya, please be merciful to me, because who can be more merciful than your Lordship within these three worlds? Your specific incarnation is just to reclaim the conditioned fallen souls. But I assure you that you will not find a greater fallen soul than me. Therefore, my claim is first. O my dear Lord Nityananda, you are always joyful in spiritual bliss. And since you always appear very happy, I have come to you because I am most unhappy. So if you kindly put your glance over me, then I may also become happy. My dear Advaita Prabhu, husband of Sita, you are so kind. Please be merciful to me. If you are kind to me, then naturally Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda will also be kind to me. O Sarup Dhamodar, personal secretary of Lord Chaitanya, O six Goswamis Rupa, Sanatan, Raghunath Bhatta, Gopal Bhatta, Jiva, and Raghunath Das Goswamis, O Lokanath Goswami, my beloved spiritual master, this Narottam Das also prays for your mercy. O Srinivas Acharya, successor to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, please be merciful to me. This Narottam Das always desires the company of Ramachandra Chakravarti. The following are notes from the previous Vaishnava Acharyas. Srila Sridhar Swami gives the following Shastric reference concerning the bhar. Four rice grains are called one gunja. Five gunjas equals one pana. Eight panas equals one karsha. Four karshas equals one pala. And 100 palas equals one tula. 20 tulas make up one bhara. Since there are about 3,700 grains of rice in an ounce, the Syamantaka jewel was producing approximately 170 pounds of gold every day.